Right. We will move back to our, would you, Nick, would you like to take the polled item first?
Yeah, please.
Okay, so let's take item 361.
Accept contracts with Advanced American Construction, Inc. and Black & Veatch Corporation for the design and construction of the Bull Run Dam 2 Towers Improvement Project as complete and authorize final payment.
Mr. Fish.
So, Mayor, this is a really big deal, and I'm actually, as I kidded Amanda when she was leaving, I'm sorry we don't have the full council. I'm a little chagrined that the council chambers is almost empty. And maybe I should take that as, we should take that as a compliment.
It's good news.
Yeah. And the reason we've moved this from consent to the regular agenda is this is the first major capital construction project that's been completed since we changed the ground rules. And council's going to get a quick report on how we did. And I'm hoping that based on the questions that my colleagues ask, that this iterative process begins to shape what kind of future reports you're going to get and how they are presented. And so you're going to obviously be interested in knowing were we over budget, under budget, were we on time, those kinds of things, what's the benefit to our ratepayers, and on and on. But let me try just framing the issue for you. Today we're in some ways pulling back the curtain on an aspect of Water Bureau work that very few people see, because the work has been occurring in the Bull Run watershed. But it's vitally important to both the quality of our water and compliance with some federal regulations. The specific matter before council today is we're coming before you to close out contracts with contractors on what's called the Bull Run Dam 2 Tower Project. Now, I have a confession. The first couple times I was in meetings with Director Schaff, he talked about the Dam Tower Project. I said, David, I understand how passionate you are, but there's no cause for swearing in this room. Well, it turns out he was literally talking about the Dam 2 Power Project, and that is what it is. And I am pleased to report to my colleagues that the project has been completed on time and just slightly under the council-approved budget. To better understand what this particular Dam 2 Tower Project does, I'd like you to think of it as you watch the PowerPoint as a straw, a fairly expensive straw that's been placed into the reservoir for the purpose of being able to capture the colder water that's below the surface. And why is that important? Well, our team is going to explain under some federal regulations and out of respect for natural habitat and other things why we have to regulate water temperature. But it is literally a straw that's been placed in to a part of the reservoir that goes down as far as 150 feet. So the work on this project was very challenging and also very dangerous. In fact, essentially deep sea diver type equipment going down where you could only work for a very limited period of time, and then you had to come up and recover. From an engineering standpoint, this is literally a one-of-a-kind project in the country. And I learned just recently that it involved the largest silt curtain ever made at over a half mile long. Unfortunately, we can't recycle this curtain in any of our bathrooms, but it is the largest silt curtain ever done. And why a silt curtain? Well, because we had to make sure that there was no contamination of the surrounding water. I want to also just share a few fun facts before we introduce our panel. Between the two reservoirs in the Bull Run, we have about 19 billion gallons of water that's stored. And that's really phenomenal when, you know, daily we read stories about the crisis in California, challenges across the country. We have 19 billion gallons in reserve, of which about 10 billion gallons is usable. And that's because if you go down below a certain level or you get to the edges, you create what Director Schaff loves to talk about, which is turbidity events, and that's not good in our work. So about 10 of the 19 billion is usable. The project that we've completed is a cornerstone of the Water Bureau's Habitat Conservation Plan, which is in turn part of the city's compliance with the Endangered Species Act. And here's something else to ponder about this incredible resource that we take for granted in the Bull Run. We're using about 85 million gallons a day, and over the course of a year, we're consuming between 33 and 35 billion gallons of water. Mm-hmm. All of it replenished thanks to natural phenomenon that occur up in the watershed. Rain and water percolating through the natural filter system and then ending up in the lake. On some days, because we have a limited capacity to retain water, we're literally sending hundreds of millions of gallons of water into the rivers and streams and back into the natural ecosystem. That's how plentiful it is. We have more than we need, but we'll continue to protect what we have. And I'd like to introduce Mike Sturr, who's our chief engineer, and Tim Collins, the senior engineer, to work us through what I think is a significant success story for the Bureau. Gentlemen.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor, commissioners. My name is Mike Sturr. I'm the chief engineer of the Portland Water Bureau. And I have with me Tim Collins, who's a senior engineer, and he's the project manager for Dam 2 Towers. He was also the project manager for the Sandy River Crossing Tunnel Project and will be our project manager for the Willamette River Crossing.
Give him all the easy stuff.
That's what we do. Not only that, we've just tortured him through the city's Leadership Institute, and now we feel he's fully qualified to come and talk to council. We're very pleased to be able to come and talk to you about this project. I think it went very well. It's a great project. We had great contractors. We had a lot of help on this project from our procurement staff and from the city attorney's office. It's a CMGC contract, and I think an excellent use, an excellent example of why we use CMGC contracts. So without further ado, I'll let Tim go ahead.
Welcome, Tim.
Good morning. My name is Tim Collins. I'm the, as well as being a senior engineer, I'm the program manager for the CIP projects that happen in the watershed. So I wanted to talk about the main participants in this project. We had Advanced American Construction, and they were the contractor, as Mike mentioned. We had Oregon Ironworks. They were the fabricator of the wet well. They are also the people who built the streetcar. They were, in fact, building the streetcar at the same time they were building our facility. Black & Veatch was our consultant, and there are many, many other people who are involved. This is basically a six-year project, and I am quite honored to be here and to be able to talk to you guys about it. It's probably one of a lifetime career type of project, and I just wanted to say that there are many people who are involved that made this a reality. You mentioned it was part of the Habitat Conservation Plan. It's basically designed to reduce the temperature of the lower Bull Run River below the dams throughout the summer season. I could throw some numbers at you. That's not my purview, but it's basically designed to approach what would have been historical norms in the Bull Run before we built the dams. I love your straw analogy. It's the one that I use myself when I'm talking to people who don't know what this is. It's very applicable. This straw has three different holes in it, and they have little gates that each hole can pull the water out of. But before I wanted to give you a grounding of what these towers look like. Now, I hope all of you and everybody in here takes a chance to go out and see the dams and see the watershed. It's truly a gift we have, and we need to appreciate it. But they were built in the 60s, and what I want, unfortunately, I can't do the PowerPoint thing. I can't point, but the North Tower is the one that we worked on. It's by far the largest. And if you look down, you'll see the grating at the bottom of it here. That's where the water leaves the reservoir. There's a tunnel that goes through the dam, and then it goes into our headworks facility. So we're going to focus on those. That's where the straw attaches. So we're attaching this straw to this screened area, and then the front side of the straw has these gates on it. So I've kind of already talked about these. There are a couple of other things that we did. We did quite a few, some improvements at our headworks facility to better separate the water for fish from the water for people. That was a challenge that we had as requirements were coming through, that we had to feed water to town and feed water to the river through the same system of piping. It was creating challenges, so now they're completely separate, and we have a much easier to maintain system. So here's basically a schematic. If you look in the side view, the stuff on the left is the existing tower. It's round, and then you'll see that sloping roof. That's the top of those gates. And the straw is this sort of ribbed-looked trapezoidal structure. And if you look on the front view, you'll see three pairs of gates, six gates. Each of these gates are about 15 by 13 feet tall. So they would be, you know, they would be covering this screen above my head. They're quite humongous. So that's basically the structure. It sits on the existing foundation of the tower. So you'll see on the picture that kind of low disc-shaped thing. The wet well sits on top of the existing foundation of the tower. So the first thing we had to do was we had all this equipment, all this new stuff that we had to implement so that we could operate these gates. And the whole tower was open to the elements, so we had to create a new tower. Also, another significant thing was we had to upgrade the roof so we could put a crane on it, because we needed this crane so that we could manipulate the gates when they're not in normal service, but if they were to be maintained. So this building was built on the shore. We literally cut the top off of the tower. They had a huge, it was basically a diamond-encrusted piece of wire, and they literally ran this diamond-encrusted piece of wire, and it cut the top off of the tower. It was quite amazing. So then they rebuilt the roof, and we put this new building on top of it. And then we went to the base of it is with Oregon Ironworks. These are massive pieces of steel. Each one of these webs is 1 inch thick. It's just an amazingly complicated and massive piece of steel, because basically the whole tower has to be supported on this base. And then the side pieces, these trapezoidal, they're two pieces. You can kind of see the openings where the gates would fit on them. And there's this guy standing in front of it, so they're quite massive. And then we had to get it to the site, which was a job all on its own. Out in rural Clackamas County, lots of bridges with low load limits and weight limits. The one thing that I forgot to mention is that the tower was built out of 9 different segments. So it's 120 feet tall, and each of these segments had to be broken up, and then it had to be bolted together. All of this happened underwater. So here we're putting the base into... We've got it out, sitting on a barge. This 9,300 pounds, I looked it up. It's about equivalent to 4 TriMet buses. So these things are not trivial to move around. They're quite heavy and massive. And then this is showing it down. They had to drop it in 120 feet of water. Very cold, getting really dark. It was like 37 degrees Celsius or Fahrenheit down there, so it was quite cold. And then this is another one. They had to flip these things over. It was not trivial to move these things around, drop them into the water, and keep them without any sort of damage to them. And then as you mentioned, this was literally like deep sea diving. I mean, these guys are in some serious gear. They've got these video cameras. If you look at this, is what they had to wear. They could only be under the water for 30 minutes at the maximum depth. The guys are watching them. You can kind of see his hand with the wrenches. Everything had to be bolted together.
And by the way, my colleagues know that Commissioner Leonard was a very hands-on commissioner in charge. This is actually Randy Leonard.
That's Randy in the mask.
Keeping an eye on the work.
Exactly. There he is under the mask. So here's some pieces. It's finally coming out of the water here. You can see it underneath the beautiful clean water of the Bull Run. And this is the final product. We've got a nice product with some new access. You can see the front part of the gates that move the valves around. The big crane that I was talking about, you can see the change in the color of the concrete where they cut the top of the roof off. Before this, you had these rickety old stairs that were extremely unsafe. Now we have this very nice, state-of-the-art, safe facility that we're able to monitor the water temperature and manipulate it. I said there was some work on the downstream revisions. These are some other pieces of it. Once again, everything was quite large, 96 diameter outfall. This is where the water that we pump through the towers goes into the Bull Run River. There's quite a large pressure reducing valve, because at times we would have to dump a lot of water through depending on the flow regimen. I wanted to go through the construction costs. In 2009, we estimated that the construction was going to be $30 million. In 2012, we negotiated a guaranteed maximum price contract with AAC for $31.5 million. The final construction cost turned out to, in 2015 turned out to be just under $30 million. And so that was an owner savings of about 5%, $1.6 million. The consulting fees were basically about five. We were also able to negotiate what I felt to be very appropriate and aspirational goals for our MWESB participation was over 30% of the subcontracting fees. And the total project cost for the entire 6 years was just a shy under $40 million. We're not the only ones who think this is a great project. We've received three awards up to this point. Probably the first one is the most prestigious, I would say. They call it the Oscars of the construction industry. We won that. We got to go to Vegas, and it was the award ceremony was in Vegas, and so we got that for infrastructure. We've also been honored by the Daily Journal of Commerce and the Engineering News Review Record as first notch projects. So is there any other questions on that?
Wow, great project. Did the CMGC method obviously worked in this case?
It was really actually critical to this project. It's one of the tough things about these one-off projects. There's maybe five of these on the West Coast. There may be more nationwide, but there's not like an inventory of these things. And it's deep water diving. And I think the participation of our contractor in both the deep water diving, what you can assemble underneath the water, and also their knowledge of how to break this thing down so that we could get it up there. I mean, it'd be a pretty simple thing to build it out in the river here, but when you have to cart it up to the watershed on trucks and it's got to fit under all these little bridges with load limits, it was critical to have the contractor on board, and we got them on board at the 60% design, and they worked with us throughout the project.
One benchmark you didn't mention in your PowerPoint has to do with water quality standards and whether we had any violations. So in the course of managing this, getting the equipment up there, working in the water, working on the embankment, getting the equipment in, there's a myriad opportunities here to get dinged. What was the outcome on that?
We didn't have any water quality violations. We did scare ourselves a couple of times. One of the things you do when you're working over potable water is you require the biggest thing that happens on construction jobs is the hydraulic systems blow. One of the requirements for the hydraulics on all the equipment up there was that you use, I forgot what the
food
term.
Grade.
Food grade oil. So if you do blow oil, it's really no problem, but it's still reportable. So we had no water quality violations. Our water quality group was dogging us the whole time. We put in a bunch of extra monitors between, you had two towers, one we were building on, the other one we were using. So we had an array of monitors between the two towers to make sure we didn't do anything bad or that if something bad did happen, we were able to respond quickly. But good planning on all parts and very successful.
I understand, Mike, this is sort of a one-off, but As you both look back over the last 6 years, share with us a lesson learned, something that you as a group learned about managing a complex project that will inform and help us do a better job on the next project.
I will say that the CMGC process was really critical for this, not only what Mike just mentioned, but because Oregon Ironworks was involved early on. I mean, it's things that we just couldn't know that they did, like how do you get a hydraulic wrench into this location under 120 feet of water? You know, those things were just critical. How do you build it? How do you fabricate a piece that's the weight of three TriMet buses and move it around? These are things that you needed to know right off the bat. You didn't want to do low bid. You needed to know this stuff. So alternative procurement in general, I think, is key in these really complex and long-term projects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've used it a lot in transportation here. We've used it for streetcar construction, light rail to the airport. Same kind of thing. Big, complicated project. Only a few contractors really know how to do it. Figure out all kinds of problems that you didn't know you had if you get them involved in the design process early. So, yeah.
It creates a collaborative teamwork environment that you need to work through these problems versus the more conventional low bid that tends to be a more confrontational.
Is there an opportunity to recycle or somehow reuse the silk curtain?
Cut it up and sell pieces like the airport carpet?
I will say we worked very, very diligently tried to recycle that silk curtain, and we were unsuccessful in getting somebody to come and use it. So
one off. How about safety? It was a dangerous project. Were you able to keep safety pretty well in hand?
I don't think we had any safety issues. And one of the, I've actually done inspection diving, and one of the pluses of the diving community is it's really, really dangerous, and they really, really know it. And we require diving plans and so on. So I'd say it was a really, really safe project, and partly that's the nature of the people who do this. It's so dangerous that you cannot be flip about what you're doing.
One last thing. I remember a number of years ago, we had some concerns from people about in the nature of a construction project like this, there was, you know, the risk of some kind of invasive something or other getting into the water supply. Remember that?
Yes.
Zebra mussels or something. Right?
Yeah, well, one of the requirements is we've got a lot of water quality requirements for people going up to the watershed, and we had a protocol we worked out with Eddie Campbell's folks from Resource Protection and our own water quality folks, and all this stuff had to be steam cleaned. The diving stuff had to be steam cleaned, properly disinfected, so that we didn't drop anything in there that we shouldn't be.
Hmm. Great work. Other questions? Thank you both very much. Does anyone else want to speak on this item? Then we'll take a roll call.
So I have one last thing
I want to tell you.
You have two jobs this morning, is to accept our right. briefing and also to approve the final payment of $7.63. So we hope you approve that.
Okay. We don't want to short this contractor after they did a good job. All right. Let's take a roll call on that, please.
Well, Mike and Tim, thanks for the presentation. And Tim, congratulations on doing the leadership program. I believe that's the same program that
I appreciated that
Sonia Schmansky in my office has been going through. And thanks to the professionals at the Water Bureau for managing kind of a one-of-a-kind project that, again, Mayor, because of the location and the exotic nature of it, is really not in the public consciousness. But we have an obligation to make sure we're just as diligent in meeting our goals of schedule and cost, even when they're out of sight, out of mind. And it turns out this one is vitally important. And so I want to thank our team, everyone who worked on this, all of our partners. We're not done with some big capital projects. Actually, we're done with this. We're basically done with the two new reservoirs that are now online, Kelly Butte and Powell Butte. But and we're also about to cut the ribbon on the new facility in Interstate. So the next big one might be somewhere down the road, both in Washington Park and then also when we start tackling the resilience questions under the river and thinking about how do we do that underwater, similar kinds of challenges. We're very proud of the people that work in the Bureau and do the hard work, and I'm grateful for this report and for the fact that they hit their mark across the board. Well done. Aye.
Novick?
I really appreciate Commissioner Fish pulling this off consent so we get to hear about the project. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Tim. And it's just great news to hear that we're able to complete this complex project under budget, winning all these awards. And as Commissioner Fish said, it's a shame that we don't have a full chamber. And this is a classic example of good news is no news. But I hope that we've got an unusually large audience on Channel 30 today.
Hales.
Well, this is a great piece of work, so you should be proud. I'm pleased about a couple things here. One, as somebody who used to work for an engineering firm, you know, getting your project recognized by ENR and AGC like this, that's a big deal. And I particularly appreciate the fact that our professionals accompanied the rest of the team, sounds like, to the awards presentation. It's completely appropriate for our managers and our leaders to participate in that kind of event and to accept the professional recognition that they deserve when they do good work. So I want to be explicit about that. That's important. and I'm glad that that was celebrated by your peers as well as by us. And it is an amazing project. I haven't been up to the watershed in a few years. This may be the one more reason for me to go take another tour, because it's been a while. But yeah, it's a place that, you know, serves everybody in Portland that most people don't know how amazing it is, both from a natural standpoint and from a engineering standpoint. And you've made it even more amazing. And finally, as somebody who whose scuba dive qualifying dive to 100 feet was at the bottom of a really cold quarry, I can appreciate what those divers, appreciate just a little bit of what those divers had to go through to actually get this work done. And that's an admirable piece of work as well. So bravo. Well done. Aye. Pay those folks that last $7.